Over the next 15 minutes, we're going to be delving into the archives, where we can find recordings in English going right back to our beginnings 70 years ago. Some of the extracts we're going to be hearing today haven't been aired for over half a century. They capture some of the most interesting and dramatic moments in Radio Prague's history.
Hello, hello. Prague, Czechoslovakia calling. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Radio Prague back in 1937, although to be quite precise, the name Radio Prague hadn't actually been adopted yet. It was just a few months after Czechoslovakia had started broadcasting to the world. With Nazi Germany breathing down Czechoslovakia's neck, the broadcast served an important propaganda role. But it wasn't just about politics. The Post and Telegraph Minister Alois Tuchny said that the new broadcasts would open our culture to the world and show how much our country could offer for the blossoming and general education of humanity. Grand words indeed.
The Prague National Theatre gave the first performance of a play by Karel Čapek a fortnight ago. Although he has distinguished himself in almost all types of dramatic works, this outstanding Czechoslovak author is perhaps best known in England by his utopian drama, Are You Are, in which, it will be remembered, he created the mechanical man, the robot. His play enjoyed triumph after triumph throughout the world.
That was one of our pre-war announcers, Oswald Bambara, who worked in the international broadcasts from 1936 to 1939. One of the most intriguing broadcasting moments in those early days was an experiment carried out on Christmas Eve, 1937. A live radio bridge was created across the Atlantic to America, sending a message of goodwill to Albert Einstein and the great Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore. In fact, the lines are pretty crackly, and to be quite honest, Professor Einstein's reply was all but incomprehensible, but it was a little moment of radio history.
Dr. František Křižík is sending a message of goodwill to Professor Albert Einstein. This message will be rendered into English by Professor Matoušek of the Charles University of Prague.
Professor Einstein, we are so far from each other, and yet so near. It is science that has shortened all distances. During the 90 years of my life, I have been the witness of the greatest advances in modern science. I saw its beginning, and I still remember those early days of Thomas Alva Edison. It entitles me to believe in further progress and in a happy future for humanity.
For all the reassurance of this message of goodwill, this was a time when Central Europe was looking increasingly unstable. Nazi Germany's propaganda chief, Joseph Goebbels, was a brilliant manipulator and was very modern in his understanding of how radio could be used to mould public opinion, and not just at home in Germany, but also internationally. Radio Prague struggled to counter this propaganda.
Once again tonight we must perform the distasteful task of refuting further invented reports broadcast by the German wireless stations. It is not true that the rectors and deans of the German universities in Prague were forced, at the point of the gun, to sign a declaration of loyalty to the state.
Here is the English politician and journalist Edgar Young in one of our broadcasts from February 1937.
It is unfortunate that Czechoslovakia is known to most foreigners largely, if not entirely, through the propaganda of her enemies. The Czechoslovaks are an excessively modest people. They are only now beginning to realize the dangerous effects of the new technique of propaganda, which consists in telling lies and half-truths with such conviction and consistency that even the victims begin to wonder what is really the truth. They have yet to devise an effective counter to it, and in the meanwhile, it would be a good thing if more foreigners were to visit the Republic to see for themselves how things are and to tell their countrymen the plain truth.
Tragically, his warnings went unheeded. At the end of September 1938, huge tracts of Czechoslovakia were ceded to Germany, Hungary and Poland.
Czechoslovakia, diminished in size by her frontier territory, ceded to Germany, Hungary and Poland, has now her definite boundaries. She has lost almost 5 million inhabitants, and 10 million remain to her. She has lost about 30% of her territory, and has an area today of approximately 100,000 square kilometers.
The British journalist John Griffin was the BBC Prague correspondent at the time, and here he is on a Radio Prague broadcast from November 1938.
Prague is a sad place now, but not a dangerous place, not even an uncomfortable one. Food here is plentiful and good as usual. Prices are so far pretty normal. There is not, so far, a shortage of coal, and the electric light has not been cut off. Above all, there is not a sign of Jew baiting or of any other chauvinistic outburst. What I have found in wandering about and talking to all sorts of people is this. Everyone is determined to try and rebuild some sort of a tolerable Czechoslovakia, even though the change of frontiers has dealt frightful blows to trade, and many people expect as much as 1 million unemployed during the winter.
It was only a few weeks after this broadcast that the Nazis marched into what was left of Czechoslovakia. Prague became an occupied city, and our English international broadcasts fell silent. Staff were sacked, and some, like the well-known pre-war announcer Zdenka Valu, perished in the Nazi death camps. But that's not the whole story of Radio Prague during the Nazi occupation. Our archive does include English recordings from the time. As the Prague uprising raged in the dying days of the war in May 1945, Czech patriots appealed, in English, on the airwaves, for help from the Allied armies.
Praha calling! The headquarters of Czechoslovak army, Praha calling! Calling the army of United States! Send quickly your tanks!
And an escaped Scottish prisoner of war, William Gregg, launched a passionate appeal.
Prague is in great danger. The Germans are attacking with tanks and planes. We are calling urgently our allies to help. Send immediately tanks and aircraft. Help us defend Prague. At present, we are broadcasting from the broadcasting station, and outside there is a battle raging.
After the war, in the years when Radio Prague was transformed into a station broadcasting Stalinist propaganda, archives of our broadcasts in English go strangely silent. Perhaps the reasons were of state secrecy. Perhaps the archives were later destroyed by those who maybe didn't want people to be reminded of their role in the events. Whatever the reasons, only fragments survive. Here, for example, is Radio Prague in Esperanto, a unique recording from the mid-1950s of the prologue to Dvořák's opera Rusalka.
Na jádo persistadas cel ideo, kaj sopirante cantas al la luno pri sia am al for estanta viro.
Esperanto, in fact, was introduced as far back as 1946 and seems to have survived for many years. Once we get into the 60s and the time of the political thaw, there are a few more English recordings surviving in the archives. In March 1963, Czechoslovak radio's correspondent in America, Karel Kinzel, interviewed Martin Luther King.
We still haven't got to one of the basic problems in our society, and that is that the Negro is still at the bottom of the economic ladder. He is still in a situation where he earns 50% less, the Negro family earns 50% less than the average white family. Now, as long as there's economic insecurity, there will be many social problems developing. And it seems to me that this is one of the great changes that must take place if we're to have genuine progress.
The voice of Martin Luther King. We've often spoken on Radio Prague about our station's role in the events of 1968. When the reforms of the Prague Spring were crushed by the Soviet-led invasion, beginning on the night from August the 20th to August the 21st. The radio building was one of the first to be occupied, and staff played a cat-and-mouse game with the Russians to keep our broadcasts on air, including improvised broadcasts from a villa in the Prague suburb of Nusle.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia, broadcasting continuously and bringing you late news bulletins and reports as we receive them of the situation here in occupied Czechoslovakia.
As the Soviets gradually consolidated their control over the country, many Radio Prague staff had to leave. But the invaders played a clever game. In the months after the invasion, they didn't launch huge political purges, and there was an illusion that things might get back to normal. Yet step by step, they tightened the screw. And by the time the first anniversary of the Soviet invasion came round in 1969, this is what Radio Prague was broadcasting, in language that became depressingly familiar in the years to come, praising riot police as they clamped down on any protests.
What is the result of all this? On the one hand, the sum is discouraging. 5 people dead, a number of wounded, material damage in the streets, and on public installations. On the other hand, the result is a failure for the forces that are openly hostile to socialism. The bulk of the population, the workers in the first place, could not be persuaded to stage a massive strike or some other national demonstration.
At that time, our colleague Olga Santova, whom many of you will remember from more recent years, was working in Radio Prague's American section. It wasn't long before the process of so-called normalization caught up with her too. But just before she was sacked in 1970, she managed to interview a then-youthful Cliff Richard, who was in Bratislava for an international music festival.
Mr. Richard, when I tried to get to you a little while ago, I nearly knocked over. How do you keep from getting knocked over by fans?
Well, I'm afraid I have to just be a little bit faster than they are.
Is it hard work?
No, not really, because they're very understanding here. In England, they pester you all the time for autographs. And unfortunately, I can see some of the fans looking at me through the window now. I would like to sign the autographs, but I just don't have the time at the moment.
And at the same event, Olga spoke to the legendary Josephine Baker.
What is the secret of keeping as young as you have?
What I don't know. Many people have said it's because of having so many children and young people around me that has made me, maybe more energetic. Not young, because life goes on and so does years. But maybe I'm a little less sluggish by having to run after my children.
In the 70s and 80s, Radio Prague continued in the services of the communist regime. It played its part in the Cold War, placing an ever-growing stress on the battle for hearts and minds in developing countries, particularly in Africa, where the two superpowers were battling to get the upper hand.
This is the African service of Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia, broadcasting in Swahili.
Hii ni idhaa ya Kiafrika ya Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia, ikitangaza katika lugha ya Kiswahili.
Unlike in 1968, Radio Prague played a more or less passive role in the events of the Velvet Revolution that brought down the communist regime, and unfortunately none of our English broadcasts from the time seem to have survived. In fact, for 3 months in early 1990, Radio Prague went off the air altogether. It was not long after then that I joined the station. At that time, for a couple of years, we were called Radio Czechoslovakia International. Although there isn't much in the official archives, I did manage to dig out a few bits and pieces from recordings that I made of our programs in the early 1990s. Luckily, these years have been a good deal less traumatic than many in the history of Radio Prague, but there has been drama. In the early 1990s, Czechs were shocked as they saw Yugoslavia dissolve into civil war. Here is the former Czechoslovak Foreign Minister Jiří Dienstbier speaking to Radio Prague just as the war in Bosnia was breaking out.
The fight between Serbs and Croats was on a definable line, and there we could send the United Nations forces to set these clear territories. But the moment Croatia was recognized, I told them, if you recognize Croatia, you will blow up Bosnia and Herzegovina, and it will be without end, because there is no line. There are lines in every village, in thousands of valleys, and then you will have either Lebanon, a big Lebanon, a huge Lebanon, or you will have to decide for the Vietnam solution.
Prophetic words there from Jiří Dienstbier. Thankfully, the split of Czechoslovakia at the beginning of 1993 saw none of the violence that so tragically accompanied the collapse of Yugoslavia. but it did have some unexpected and even slightly surreal consequences. Here is an extract from a report that I made not long after the split, when I travelled to the Czech-Slovak border.
And I'm now driving towards the village of Sidonia from the Czech side, and it's right on the border, and in order to get into the village itself, you actually have to cross the border at the customs post, which I'm just approaching now, and then go back into the Czech Republic.
So, that was me, 13 years younger than I am now, in the village of Sidonia. These days, archiving all our programs is far easier than in the past. For the last 6 years, everything we have broadcast has been kept on CD. And you can also find just about all our programs going back several years on our website. So in 70 years' time, hopefully the task of finding material to celebrate our 140th birthday will take a little bit less detective work than the many hours I spent last week in the Czech radio archives. I'll leave you with one of my favourite reports from more recent years, Rob Cameron's visit in 2003 to the woods with a man who finds music in mushrooms.
Václav is bending down over the mushroom, and he has in his hand a piece of paper which has the musical scale on it. He's concentrating on the mushroom. It's obviously telling him something. Václav is actually swaying gently in the breeze as if to music, as if to the music that the mushroom is singing. Well, the composition is now finished. Václav has finished writing a piece of music inspired by the song of this mushroom. Perhaps, Václav, could you sing what you have just composed to me?
Uh-huh.